Welcome back in, everyone, to the Teaching Through Proverbs. We are now on Proverbs 30. We got two chapters left, so almost there in this 31-day challenge of kind of going through Proverbs. Listen, this Proverbs 30 is actually a saying from Agar, son of Jacob, and it contains a message. And I'm going to read this a little bit more, just kind of reading through, not as much stopping and commentary along the way. But I want to challenge you as I do this, because there's still some things that we can get out of this. You're seeing that Agar, as you read it, he starts out, he says, "I'm weary, O God, I'm weary and worn out," whatever. And I think sometimes if we read these things, you're like, what does this have to do with anything? Like, well, this isn't encouraging. Like, this is kind of depressing almost. But what you're going to see as we go through this, I want to set this up for you. What you're going to see as we go through this is you're going to see how there's some similarities that Agar maybe has feelings of, that you may have had feelings of in life. Sometimes in life, you're like, gosh, I'm struggling with this, or I'm struggling with that. And we sometimes feel like we need to keep those thoughts to ourselves. I would encourage you that God can handle whatever you have to throw at him. He can handle it. And there's times in life, honestly, where when we're going through challenging times, and it's real and it's heavy, God can handle it. So my challenge as you read this with me, with your Bible, right, is to think about some of the times that you have gone through, or listen to this really with me, some of the times that you've gone through. Maybe you're going through a season right now that's really challenging in life, and maybe see how this resonates or connects with you. And then there are some things, there are some truths in here that are weaved in that I will talk about periodically, about who God is and what he is about and why God is faithful and the power of who he is along the way. All right, so let's pray as we jump in here. Father, I just want to thank you for all that you've done, all that you want to do in and through our lives. And I pray as we read here in Proverbs 30 that you would encourage us with your word along the way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Proverbs chapter 30, starting in verse 1, it says, "The sayings of Agar, a son of Jacob, contain this message." Here he goes. So this is his sayings here. This is the message. "I am weary, O God. I am weary and worn out, O God. I am too stupid to be a human, and I lack common sense. I have not mastered human wisdom, nor do I know the Holy One." So here's someone that's kind of down in the dumps, right? He's thinking that he's not smart. He lacks common sense. Obviously, he's made some mistakes in his life. He's tired. He's weary. He's worn out. Maybe you can relate to that. I know there's been times in my life that, if I'm honest, I can relate to that, where, you know, you've just kind of felt like you've been tossed by the waves of the world. You've been hit from left, right, front, back, because of things just happening in your life. And you're like, gosh, you know, that's tough. I know a lot of times people might look at certain people, maybe if you know me personally, or if you've seen me on social or other things and the different businesses that we have, you might say, gosh, Mike, you know, I can't relate to you. Like, you got things together. Things seem like they're working out for you. Well, they haven't always worked out. And one of the things that I've done is I've learned how to push through adversity. And I've learned how to push through challenging times. That's one of the reasons I wanted to share some of these things in Proverbs. And then there's going to be some other books of the Bible that we go through, of things that I've learned that have helped me work through and fight through these challenges in life. But in these verses here, we see that Agar is really down in the dumps, basically. Verse 4, "Who but God goes up to heaven and comes back down?" Now we're talking about, you know, the holiness and who God is in a lot of ways. "Who holds the wind in his fists? Who wraps up the oceans in his cloak? Who has created the whole wide world? What is his name? What is his son's name? Tell me if you know. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to all who come to him for protection. Do not add to his words, or he may rebuke you and expose you as a liar." So now we've moved from these challenging times to putting our thoughts and our focus on who God is, right? And that's really what, and one of the great kind of, maybe write this down if you're taking notes. One of the great things for us as a guidepost in life is when we are struggling in life. We're struggling, we're going through challenging times, we have a negative thinking in our minds. A great way to get out of that pit is by focusing on the Lord. King of kings and Lord of lords, the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the creator of everything, who spoke and created this world. And that's what we're kind of reading through some of these things here, right? Every word, verse 5, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to all who come to him for protection. Do not add to his words, or he may rebuke you and expose you as a liar. Verse 7, O God, I beg two favors from you. Now, look at the transition back. So if you're in a place where you're mentally maybe going back and forth, positive and negative, watch the transition back here. O God, I beg two favors from you. Let me have them before I die. First, help me never tell a lie. Second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who is the Lord? So he's going back to his own thought a little bit, and he's realizing in this season, so he started out in a little bit of a pity party, first couple verses, and then he talks about who God is, and now we're in a situation where he's saying, God, I need this from you because I realize who I am. I realize the struggles that I have. God, please help me be in a situation where I won't deny you. I know that you're holy. I know that you're righteous. Help me to live the kind of life that keeps me from denying you in life. Who is the Lord? He says in verse 9, and if I am too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. In other words, he's asking God to help him to stay out of these pitfalls and challenges. Verse 10, never slander a worker to your employer or the person will curse you and you will pay for it. Some people curse their father and do not thank their mother. They are pure in their own eyes, but they are filthy and unwashed. Now we're moving back to some traditional proverbs as far as just little things to know along the way of life. They look proudly, verse 13, they look proudly around, casting disdainful glances. They have teeth like swords and fangs like knives. They devour the poor people, poor from the earth, and the needy from among humanity. Verse 15, the leech has two suckers. They cry out, more, more. You've heard of a leech. You know, years ago, they used to take leeches, believe it or not, and they would use them as a medical remedy to suck out poison from a wound. So they'd put them on wounds. You might see people that were, hurt in war or something, and they would put leeches on the people, and they would suck out poison from the wound. And now what's happened is when we think of a leech today, we think of someone that is kind of leeching off of someone else and just kind of trying to get something from someone else all the time. They don't want to go work on it on their own. And that's kind of what it's talking about here. They just want more and more. There are three things that are never satisfied. No, four that never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, the thirsty desert, and the blazing fire. The eye that mocks a father and despises a mother's instructions will be plucked out by ravens of the valley and eaten by vultures. There are three things that amaze me, no, four things that I don't understand. How an eagle glides through the sky, how a snake slithers on a rock, how a ship navigates the ocean, how a man loves a woman. Think about the eagle, though. It's crazy. They just spread out their wings and they're flying, or the snake at its... It is kind of interesting when you think how God's created those. Verse 20, an adulterous woman consumes a man, then wipes her mouth and says, what's wrong with that? And by the way, guys, that's why we got to stay away from those things. Verse 21, there are three things that make the earth tremble. No, four, it cannot endure. A slave who becomes a king, an overbearing fool who prospers, a bitter woman who finally gets a husband, a servant girl who supplants her mistress. There are four things on earth that are small but unusually wise. Ants, isn't that interesting? I don't know if you've ever watched ants. Have you ever looked at an ant farm? and just kind of watch what they do. First off, their strength is significant based on their size. Secondly, what they do is really incredible, how they build and develop. It's really, really incredible. And it says here, there are four things on the earth that are small but unusually wise. Ants, they aren't strong, but they store up food all summer. And when they work as a team, I'm paraphrasing now for me, they're in a place where they can do and lift weight and things that is really incredible. When you look at how they drag food and drag things and build, it's really pretty cool. If you've ever watched, like I said, an ant farm. Hyraxes, they aren't powerful, but they make their homes among the rocks. Locust, they have no king, but they march in formation. That's pretty cool. Remember ants now. Remember ant has a leader, a ruler, so to speak, but locusts don't. They have no king, but they march in formation. Lizards, they are easy to catch, but they are found even in king's palaces. So it's kind of referencing here's lizards, like they're easy to catch, but they still somehow make their way into king's palaces, meaning like they don't want them in there, but how do they get in there, right? So it's what's happening here. You may read this and be like, what the heck is he talking about? You know, in chapter 30, what's going on here, right? Do we move into the Twilight Zone? No, what's happening is we're slowing down in these verses, and the author is sharing with us some things that are kind of very interesting. And if we step back and think about it, what it does is it actually shows us a little bit of the wonder of God and how he created things in ways that are really, truly amazing. I mean, one of the things that I used to think of is birds, and you know, I'm from Pennsylvania originally, now I live in South Florida, and what I used to think about is birds and how they fly in formation, and they fly from the north to the south. Like, that's incredible how the birds do that every year. Like, what causes them to know that it's time to go south? Or penguins, if you've ever watched their journey. Like, God has created his creation with incredible wisdom to know how to do things that, you know, nobody told them to do. Verse 29, there are three things that walk with stately stride, no four that stride about. The lion, kings of animals, who won't turn aside for anything. The strutting rooster, the male goat, a king as he leads his army. If you have been a fool by being proud or plotting evil, cover your mouth in shame. As the beating of cream yields butter, and striking the nose causes bleeding, so stirring up anger causes quarrels. So there's always kind of an analogy here, right? That beating of cream, so back in the day, how they made butter is they would, you know, churn in lots of butter, right? Maybe you've heard that analogy before. Or the striking of nose. When you punch somebody in the nose, it can cause bleeding. And similarly, stirring up anger, like in other words, invoking anger, picking on someone, just being an instigator in a lot of ways, that can create quarrels and that can create people arguing with one another. The Bible's saying, don't do that. Be aware. Don't do those things. All right, that's Proverbs 30. We got 31. There's a great message in 31 I don't want you to miss. We're going to dive into that next segment, show, episode, whatever you want to call it. Stay tuned, and we'll see you there. Talk to you soon.